We're here on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, and the last thing we discussed was the possibility of deriving shlichus from the parish of Shechitas Korban Pesach, that one member of the Chabura could shech the Korban Pesach on behalf of the entire Chabura. And the Gemara also quotes a pasuk of Vishachtu Oso Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael Ben Arbayim, which indicates that one Shochet can Shech the Korban Pesach on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. And this could be the source for Shlichus. And the Gemara answers, no. Dilma Shaini Hosam, Korban Pesach is different to Islei Shutvis Bigavaihu. And the case of Korban Pesach is different because the Shochet is a member of the Chabura. He's shechting not only on behalf of the other members of the Chabura, but on his own behalf as well. And that's a unique case. There the Shlichus is sort of representation of a unit. It's not a Shlichus of someone who's foreign, but rather one person who's been elected by the unit, by the group, to represent them. The Gemara says that we have a different source, perhaps, for Shlichus in Kodshim. Elamei Hacha. We're about 10 lines down from the top of the page. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk again in the Parsha of Korban Pesach. It says, V'yikhu lahem ish selabes avos selabayis. It means there'll be one seh, one lamb, for the entire family of a base av. Now, of course, there are many members of the family, and in such a case, the Torah is saying ish b'loshon yachid, and that's telling us that if one of the members of the family or of the bayis would take a seh on behalf of everyone else, then it's as if they all took the seh. So here we're talking about the halach of minui of Chabura in Korban Pesach, and one person is going to make a kinyan and be zoche in the Korban on behalf of the entire Chabura. So we're no longer talking about Shechita in this case, but rather we're talking about acquiring ownership over the seh. So the Gemara says, "V'dilma asam nami disle shutvis begavai." The same objection that we had before in the case of shchitas hakarbon by one of the members of the chabura, we could raise with regard to lekichas haseh on behalf of the chabura, since the one who's taking the seh and he's having all the others manuyim on the seh, he is a shutav, he's a member of the chabura. So the Gemara says, Im kain trei kroi lomali. Why do we need two psukim? One pasuk for the shlichus of the shutof in shchitas ha-pesach, and one for the shutof in lekichas ha-pesach. So we have v'shachtu oso kol kahal adas Yisrael, that's for shchita. And now we have the pasuk v'yikulem ish, and that's for the lekichas ha-seh. And here the Gemara applies the universal rule of im eino inyan, that if the Torah teaches you the same chiddush twice, then it's coming to be mechadish to break new ground. Im eino inyan lehecha deshayach, tneu leinyan lehecha delo shayach. If we don't need it for a second source to teach us shlichus of shutvis, where he's a member of the party, the shliach himself is being zocha not only on behalf of others, but on behalf of himself as well, then we should use it to teach us a case where the shliach is not a member of the party, he's not a shliach, and the Torah is adding that even if a person is not a shutav in the Korban Pesach, he can still be and serve as a shliach for those who are a menuyim, he could be koneh the Korban on their behalf. The Gemara now tries to deflect this answer. Hi, this pasuk v'yikhu lahem ish, which we assumed was superfluous, unnecessary, and therefore could teach us shlichus, And in this Eino Inyan in Shlichus, where there is no Shutfus, we need that Pasuk V'ichulem Ish Miboil Eilechad Rabbi Yitzchak, for the halacha that Rabbi Yitzchak derives from this Pasuk regarding a katan, because the Torah says Ish. Ish means a gadol. Ish Zocha, the gadol, who's already past 13, he can make a kinyan on their behalf and engender their status as menuyim on this particular carbon. Velo hakatan zocha. On the other hand, a katan, who's not an ish, does not have a yad to be zocha for others. He cannot be their shliach to represent them. And basically, the halach of a katan works in two ways. Number one, he cannot serve as a shliach for a gadol. Number two, the gadol cannot serve as a shliach for a katan, because the katan doesn't have a yad l'shchiyah. So in any event, our whole thesis was predicated on the assumption that the pasuk v'yikulem ish celebes of us could be a source. It's an extra pasuk to teach a shlichus, but we need the word ish to teach me that wherever shlichus does operate, it only applies to a gadol and not to a katan. So the Gemara says that there's another pasuk. Our pasuk in Shmos Yud Beis is in pasuk Gimel, but if you fast forward one verse, the pasuk Dalid, the Torah says, Ish lefi achlo tachosu alaseh. Tachosu means to be menuyim alaseh. Nafka, we could derive this halacha to the exclusion of katan from the pasuk Ish lefi achlo. We don't need Ish celebes avos. And therefore, once we have the derivation, the same halacha that Rabbi Yitzchak wants to derive, but from a different pasuk, namely from Ish lefi achlo, we now have a pasuk v'ish celebes avos as a superficial pasuk, as an extra pasuk, which can teach me shlichus. The Gemara is still not happy about this. Vakati, how can you derive the din that katan cannot become a shliach for others from the pasuk of ish lefi achlo? Miboile, we need that pasuk. Deshochten as a pesach al hayochid. The ish lefi achlo means one person. We're going to allow the shechita of a korban pesach for one person. And we're going to see that this is a machlokes tanoim, actually, in Psachim Daf Tzadi Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda rejects this idea that you can shecht an entire korban pesach for one individual. It's Rabbi Yossi that's being reflected here in our sugya. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that you can shecht the korban on behalf of a yachid. Again, the Rambam Shita is that it's a small karbon, and therefore that yachid can consume the entire karbon. We want to leave out Nosar. Rashi in Masechta Psachim learns differently, that as long as this one individual could eat a kezayis, then we could shecht, according to Rabbi Yossi, we could shecht the entire karbon on his behalf. In any event, we see that you don't need a chabura, according to Rabbi Yossi, and this halacha is derived from ish lefi achlo, ish b'lashon yachid, that you can shecht the korban even for one individual. So once again, we're going to need the pasuk v'yikulam ish celebes avos to teach us that a katan cannot become a shliach to be kone and set up a minui for all the other gedolim in the chabura. And therefore, back to our question, how do we know shlichus and kodshim in a situation where there's no shlichus, the Yemeinu Inyan falls apart? And the Gemara says, Savar la Rabbi Yonasan. Keep in mind, you have to remember the names here a little bit. Rabbi Yonasan, back on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis, was the Bala Braisa who said that how do you know that one person could shech the Korban Pesach on behalf of the entire Klal Yisrael? He was the one who learned it from Veshachtu Oso Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael. And again, even though that's a case of Shutfis, nevertheless, he has an Emeino Inyan from Tachu Ish Lefi Achlo Tachusal Aseh to derive even in a case where there is no Shutfis. And even though we need that pasuk to exclude katan, And now the Gemara thinks we need the pasuk also to allow, like Rabbi Yossi, shechita on behalf of one individual. There's no other members in the chabura. The Gemara says now that Rabbi Yonasan actually holds like Rabbi Yehuda in Masechta Pesachim. He learns from what it says in the Korban Pesach in Dvarim Tezayin. There it says, Lo sucha lizbach es ha-posach be'achad sha'arecha. And he darshens the word be'achad, meaning for a yachid. There's no shechit of a Korban Pesach for a yachid, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yonasan accepts the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and there's no shechit of the Korban Pesach for a yachid. Therefore, the posuk ish lefi achlo, which we thought the singular grammatical use of the word ish is coming to tell you can shecht the korban pesach for one individual. Rab Yonasan holding like Rabbi Yud doesn't have that drasha, therefore he can use the pasuk ish lefi achlo to exclude katan from shlichus, and therefore the pasuk v'yikhu lahem ish celebase avos celebayis is now superfluous and it's free to derive the halach of shlichus. And even though it's a shlichus of karma, of shutvis, nevertheless, since we have the other pasuk of kol kahal adas b'nei Yisrael in shchita, which is also shutvis, we can apply the logic, the rule of im eino inyan. So now the Gemara has come to a conclusion that we do have a source for shlichus in kodshim, finally. So now, to summarize what we had at the beginning of our perek on Daf Mem Alef, we had a source for shlichus in Gerushin and through Avaya Litzia to Kedushin. Now we have a source for shlichus in Kodshim. So the Gemara says, now I have a problem with another statement. And this is a statement of Rav Gidol Amar Rav. He derived shlichus from a different parsha. In the parsha of Nachlas Eretz Yisrael, when the land was divided up into Shvatim, and from Shvatim into Mishpachos, the Torah says over there, V'yelahad yom rav gidol amarav minayin sheshluchu shalom kibos shenemar, v'nasi echad nasi echad mimata tikhu linchol es haaretz, meaning each nasi who is chosen to represent each shevet during the time of the chalukas haaretz, he, the nasi of that shevet, would be zoche on behalf of the members of his shevet. And that's explicit in the Torah. And Rav uses that parsha of Nachlas Haaretz as the source for shlichus. Now, wait a minute. We just derived shlichus from Kodshim and from Gerushin. So the Gemara now asks, why does Rav need a drasha from Chalukas Eretz Yisrael to derive the halach of shlichus? Typically, shlichus mehachi could have derived shlichus from Kodshim and from Gerushin. So the Gemara says, no, what Rav has in mind is not shlichus at all. Although he does say the word shlichus, but it's a different kind of a shlichus. The tisbara, is it logical to hashlichus who to assume that when the nasi was zoche in the chalukah on behalf of the members of his shevet, it is shlichus, and derived from here for kol tarkula that there is a principle of shlichus, v'aktanim lavnei shlichus dinu, the nasi represented not only the gedolim, but he also represented the ktanim, and as we discussed earlier today, a katan is not only excluded from being a shliach, he's also excluded from the shlichus operating on his behalf. Others cannot be zocher as a shliach for the katan. The shliach is appointed by the mishaleach. The katan cannot serve as the mishaleach. Now, before we go on, let me just point out something that the Ritva points out here in this sugya. The Gemara is trying to analyze Rav Gidol Amar Rav, why he doesn't derive shlichus from Kodshim and Gerushim. But you could ask the question the opposite direction. Why does he need Kodshim and Gerushim when you could derive shlichus from Chalukas Haaretz? And perhaps we could say that in the case of Chalukas Haaretz, the Nasi himself was a Shutav, and therefore we could not establish Shlichus B'Kol HaTarkula from Nasi Echad and Chalukas Haaretz. That's, again, as we saw earlier, by Shechitas HaPesach and Lekichat HaPesach on behalf of the Minuyim and the Minui, there's an exception to the rule of Shlichus. There's an easy, shall I say, a simple kind of Shlichus called Shlichus of Shutvis that cannot serve as the paradigm for Shlichus called Tarkula, and therefore we're better off learning Shlichus from Gerushin, or from Kiddushin, or perhaps from Kodshim, because there we're not dealing with Shlichus. Again, in Kodshim we need the Emenu Inya, but we derive Shlichus even when there's no Shutvis. And therefore the Gemara says, what's the need for Rav to derive Shlichus from Chalukas Haaretz? But now, getting back to our sugya, the Gemara insists that in the case of Chalukas Haaretz, where the Zechiya was even on behalf of Ktanim, then we're not really dealing with Shlichus. Ella, but rather we have to sort of reformulate in a more precise way the drasha and the derivation of Rav. Ki ha de Rava bar Rav Huna, the Amrav Rava bar Rav Huna, Amrav Gidol, Amrav, minayin shezachin liyodem shalom befonov, shenem av nasi echad vimate, that the parsha of Chalukas Haaretz is not operating under the mechanics of Shlichus, because then there would be no Shlichus for a katan, but rather it's operating under the principle, the mechanism called Zechiya, Zochin Liodom Shalom Befonov. Now here we have a fundamental distinction between Shlichus and Zechiya. And why is that? How is that so? In the case of Shlichus, Ishlucho Shalom Kemoso means that the Maisa is really the Maisa of the Shliach, the Chiddush, the renovation or revolution of Shlichus is that someone is considered the long arm, the Shlichus is considered the long arm of the Mshaleach. And the agency of Shlichus works not only that the Chalos relates to the Mshaleach, but also the Maisa relates to the Mshaleach. So Shlichus is sort of very, very technical. Zechiya is a greater Chiddush. Again, keep in mind that the Mishaleach, the Zoche, is out of the picture. I mean, he's not even aware of what's going on. And if that be the case, the Mezake, we'll call him the Shliach of Zechiya, is operating full, you know, the full soup to nuts, the A to Z, the whole gamut, he's doing everything. He supplies not just the Das in order to generate the Chalos, but also the Maisa. And that's the nafkamina, is whether or not Shlichus or Zechiya could be meaningful on behalf of a katan. If you're going to say that in the case of Shlichus, the Mishaleach is really in the driver's seat, the Shliach is secondary, he's just the arm of the Mishaleach, then obviously the parsha of Shlichus could not operate for on behalf of Katan. The Katan cannot be a Mishaleach. He's not capable of this Maisa. The Halacha doesn't recognize his Maisa, the validity of his Maisa. So how could Shlichus work? The answer is that we're not dealing with Shlichus, but rather with Zechiya. In the case of Zechiya, the Mezakeh is operating in a twofold way. You know, now the weight is shifting from the Mishaleach to the Shliach. And the Nasi could now be Zoche on behalf even of a Katan, because the Katan, so to speak, is out of the picture. I don't mean he's out of the picture. The Chalos, obviously, and the Nachlas Aris will relate to the Katan, but the Katan plays, if you will, a secondary role. And all this means that the Nasi is not only operating without the idea of the Katan, who is his Mishaleach, but he's operating full-fledged, you know, for the full gamut. He's doing the Maisa. And it's a mice of a gadol. And that's why it operates even on behalf of a katan. And this, of course, touches on the fundamental issue of whether or not Zachia is mitam shlichus, or is it a brand new din? If Zachia is really operating mitam shlichus, which means that the only difference between Zachia and shlichus is whether or not there was a minui miyadiyas hamshaleach, and in Zachia there's an automatic minui upstendikin, and therefore Zachia is really shlichus, then this Gemara is very difficult, because the Gemara here is making a fundamental distinction and saying that you cannot derive shlichus from here. This is a new parasha of Zachia. And therefore, it would seem that this Gemara would prove or support that opinion that Zachia ain't a mitam shlichus. Shlichus means that the shliach is operating on behalf of the mishaleach, and the mishaleach is really the one who is implementing, through shlichus, implementing the maisa and generating the chalos. Here we have a new parsha of Zachia, in which the mezakeh is doing everything on behalf of the mishaleach, on behalf of the zocheh. And that's why it operates even with regard to katan, where shlichus would not operate successfully with regard to a mishaleach who's a katan. Now the Gemara has an objection. Wait a minute. Are you telling me that Nachlas Aretz and what the Nesiim did is called Zochin the Olam Shel V'Tizra? Is it logical, Zchusi, Hachov Enami Ika? You cannot tell me, says the Gemara, that every one of the members of the Shevet was totally happy and comfortable with his piece of land that he acquired through the Nasi's agency, because in some cases, you have to admit, there's an element of chova. Why? Dika denichle bahar, v'lo nichle bibika. Ika denichle bibika, v'lo nichle bahar. You always have a person who would rather prefer a higher land than a valley. And if through this chaluka, what fell into his portion, into his lot, was a bika, and he prefers a har, or flip it around, he prefers a bika, and he got a har, then obviously this is not zochel liolim shel b'fonov. And maybe the Gemara is implying here that the parsha and the episode of Zachia through the Chalukas Haaretz, through the Nesiim, that's a brand new parsha, and you can support that and say it doesn't operate me din shlichus and zchi of kol tarkula from the fact that it works through goral. So the Gemara says, Ela kiderava baravuna marava baravuna amrav gidol marav. It's true that chalukas aretz through the Nesiim does teach us a universal halach. It is paradigmic, but not of shlichus and not of zechiyah, because after all, there's an element here of chov. But rather, this is the source for what we call the halach of apotropos. A father dies, and now the Yerusha, the inheritance, is going to be divided amongst the heirs. And who's going to represent the Yisomim Ktanim, the young children who would receive and inherit their portion in this inheritance, in this Yerusha, is Bezdin Mamidim Lem Apotropis. Bezdin is the arm, the representative of the Yesomim Ktanim, and they, Bezdin, will appoint an apotropis. This apotropis is the custodian in charge of all the financial arrangements of the katan, in this case of the Yerusha, and Lachuv Vilizchos, the function and the validity of the work of the operation of the apotropis on behalf of the Somim Ktanim works in two ways. It could work both Lizchos, hopefully, or even Lechova, which is something that goes beyond the pale of Zachin, of the universal Halach of Zachin. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, what do you mean, lachuf? Amai? Why would Bezdin want to cause a financial loss to the Yisomim through this apotropis who represents them? Ella, what it really means is lachuv almanas lizkos, meaning obviously apotropis lechatchil is going to try to do his best and maximize the financial benefits of the katan, but nevertheless, even if there'll be some element of gram chova, that doesn't matter because the apotropis is vested with the authority, the powers to operate financially as the yad, the representative of the ketanim, and even if it turns out to be chova, let it be so. And how do we know such a thing? Says Rav Gidol Amarav Talmud Lomar from this parsha of Chalukah Saaretz. It says v'nasi echad, nasi echad mimata tikhu. The nasiim would divide up the land amongst the members of the shvatim, even the ketanim, and the maisa of the nasi would sometimes inadvertently cause a loss, because, as we said before, Nikolei Bahar, Nikolei Bebikah. But nevertheless, since the Nasi is appointed by Bezdin, he has the status of an apotropos, who, as we said before, vested in the apotropos as the authority to represent the Bezdin and work on behalf of the Yesomim Ketanim, even in a situation where it'll cause some sort of element of chova, of a little bit of a loss. Nevertheless, Maisov Kayomim, the action of the apotropos is legally binding. And Rav derives this from Chalukah Saaretz. The Chalukah of the Nesiim was, in effect, apotropos. The Chalukah of an apotropos, in the case where someone dies and leaves young children, the apotropos appointed by Beis Din represents the children. And therefore, we can begin to understand is how does Rav derive Zochen Yodim Shalom Befonov from the parsha of Chalukas HaNesiim, Chalukas HaAretz. After all, that was a chova, can't be schia. But the answer is then in the case of apotropos, Zochen Yod Shalom B'fanav goes a little bit beyond the universal halach of Zochen, and the Chachamim will accept and validate the act of the apotropos as legally binding, even if there is an element of chova, because it's done for the purpose of Zchus. But fundamentally, the mechanics of apotropos and the validity in this principle of apotropos is predicated on Zochen Yodim Shalom B'fanav. It's a form, albeit an extreme form, of Zochen Yodim Shalom B'fanav. Every schia on behalf of a person, Shalom B'fanav, if later on he finds out about it, the Zocha, he has a right to make a mecha, and he can claim, I protest, you thought this was beneficial for me, and you're working on my behalf for my better interest? No, I don't want it. In such a case, the zchia is completely betela, it's completely invalid. The chiddush of apotropos is that the ketanim, even when they become older, they cannot be mevatel that zchia. And again, what we're saying is that apotropos is a form of zchia, albeit a very powerful and all-inclusive, you know, the scope and the validity of the apotropos is very far-reaching. However, I would mention here that the Ran on the Sugya has a different perspective, a different view, and if we were learning this Sugya, even we'd certainly have to analyze the Ran and those who disagree with him. The Ran is of the opinion that the Zchi of apotropos is not operating midin Zoch Liadam, but it's a brand new halacha that all the nechasim, all the properties that the Yesomim Ketanim have a relationship with is not a kind of Zchi halacha. You don't have to be zoche on behalf of the Yisomim. The properties already belong to the Yisomim. They've already acquired ownership. The Chalukah is only a kind of a gili das to tell us, well, which section goes to which Yisom, which of the Ketanim who are inheriting their father will acquire which particular and isolate which particular field or part of a field they will own or which will be designated. So it's more of an action of designation. It's kind of like a birur. It's not really a classical zechia. And by the way, we might want to wonder if truma and the case of our first truma that we discussed yesterday is also very similar. It's more of a designation. And after all, we said that truma operates even with machshava, because the machshava is enough to designate that this area will be chul and this area will be designated for the kohen and be truma. In any event, we do want to mention that the nasi, according to Rashi Shita, not like the Ran, is zoche on behalf of the ketanim midin zoche liyal shlo b'fanav. And therefore we could derive from this parsha of Nasi and Chalukas Aretz that even Gedolim, you could be Zocha on behalf of Gadol Shelo B'fanav. And that would seem to be Rashi Sheet of Divra Maschil Ella Kidarov. And I could add the following sentence here, that perhaps according to Rashi's approach, It's only on the shoulders of Zoche Liyalim Shel B'fanav that this halach of apotropis that Bezin could appoint that apotropis to represent the Yisom could stand. Now, the fundamental underlying rule here and the mechanics is Zoche Liyalim Shel B'fanav, which works for Gedolim. In the case of Ketanim, we go a step further and we can appoint an apotropis whose vested powers are even greater than that of Zoch and the Odom in general. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel, go on. And the Gemara now wants to study this halach of apotropis, who divides up the Yerusha, and take it a little further. Yisomim, Shebo, Lachlok, Benichse, Aviyem. When the Yisomim come after the death of their father to receive their portion in the inheritance. And we'll see that according to summary shown in the Rambam and others, we're talking about a case where amongst the Yarshim, we have some who are Gedolim and some who are Ktanim. If it was only Ktanim, then it has nothing to do with Rotsim Lachlok, or Ein Rotsim Lachlok, there would be the initiative would be taken by the Bezdin to appoint an apotropis to divide up the Yerusha. But here we're talking about a case where some of the Yorshim are Gedolim, and they have a right to come into Bezdin and demand Chalukas HaYerusha. And Bezdin now is in charge of clarifying which part of the Yerusha, which part of the fields of the father will be designated for the Ketanim, and to separate that on behalf of the Ketanim. However, many other Rishonim, including the Meiri here, and Rashi and Masechta Yevamos and elsewhere, of the opinion that we're talking about a case where all we have are Yisomim Ketanim. And they realize that Bezdin will be operating for their best interest, and therefore they show up in Bezdin, and Bezdin reciprocally responds by appointing an apotropis on their behalf. Is Bezdin Amidim Lehem Apotropis Uborim Lehem Chilek Yofer. In other words, the apotropis will decide and try to choose the best portion of land for each one of the Ketanim. Ultimately, all these different Chalukim, these different portions of land, will be equal in value, but nevertheless, the apotropis is there to guarantee that every katan gets and receives a chelik yofer, and that's because Bezdin is considered the avim shal yisomim, and their arm, to execute their decision, their will is the apotropis. But the higdilu, now what happens when the yisomim become mature and they decide that the decision and the chalukah that was implemented by the apotropis is not for their, they're not comfortable with it, is Yecholim Limchos. They can make a Mecha. And this Gemara now, which establishes that the Yesomim have the ability to break up the Chaluk and nullify it, and generate a, and force the decision to make a new Chalukah, this is pretty radical in comparison to what we said before. We said that the authority is vested in the apotropos to establish a chalukah which is irreversible. But although Rashi doesn't address this head-on here in Kiddushin, in Masechet Yevamah Samach Zayin, there Rashi suggests that to some extent the chalukah of the apotropos is in fact irreversible. Is irreversible. We're not going to undermine the entire chalukah. For example, let's say that during the last X number of years, the fields have produced fruits. Can the Yesomim now require that we go back? You know, Lamafreya, we retroactively nullify and undermine the original chalukah, such that the peros and the value represented by this peros will now have to be rearranged? The answer is no. Rashi says in Yevamos, the peros that grew during the years that have passed from the time of the Chalukah until the time of this Mecha, of this protest, remain in the hands of whoever received, whichever one of the heirs received that Sada. So you see that to some extent, there is power vested in the apotropos that their decision is irreversible. And that's the opinion of Shmuel as quoted by Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman di Dei Omar. Rav Nachman, however, disagrees with this opinion of Shmuel. And Rav Nachman himself is of the opinion that the authority vested in the apotropos is total, complete, and irreversible. Imigdilu einam yicholim limchos. Even if the youngsters become gdolim when they mature and they want to make a mecha and they want to protest and say that this was not in their best interest, they do not have the power to do so. Okay, now why not? So we said before, that's the new parasha of apotropos. But again, if we're assuming that apotropos is predicated upon Zochin Liodom Shelo Befonov, then we are inclined logically to presume that there should be Aloch of Mecha as there is in Zechiah. Again, it's not the Ran's approach, but according to Rashi that we mentioned earlier, that apotropos is predicated on Zechiah, then L'chor Shmuel is right, Rav Nachman is wrong. Logically, we would assume and conclude like Shmuel that there is a power on the Zocha, on behalf of the Zocha, meaning the Ketanim when they become older, to make a Mecha. That's how Zechiah works. And it seems to me that the Gemara now is addressing, with the next five words, this question. Why does Rav Nachman disagree with Shmuel and maintain that the halach of Mecha, which operates universally in Zechiah, is suspended with regard to Zechiah's apotropos? And the answer is because this is not the Zechiah of Reuven on behalf of Shimon, of one private citizen on behalf of his friend, but rather Makoach Bezdin Yofer. There's a principle that when Bezdin is acting and implementing some sort of financial arrangement, this is Koach Bezdin, this Hefker Bezdin, is the powers that invested in Bezdin are absolute and irreversible. The apotropos is a representative of Bezdin, but the act of Chalukah here is in effect essentially the act of Bezdin, and the rule of Ma Bezdin, Ma Koach Bezdin Yof has to apply over here in making the decision and the chalukah irreversible. So Gemara says, but wait a minute. We have another case of a Maisa Bezdin, which is called Shum Hadayonim, when Reuven owes a debt to Shimon, and Reuven defaults on the loan, he doesn't have the ability to return the money, then the karka, the real estate that was owned by Reuven, it may have already been sold, be that as it may, but it has a shibud on it, a lien, and Beis Din is going to have to be in charge of doing what's called a shum hadayonim. And this is a Mishnah in Masechet Ksubos, which authorizes Beis Din to evaluate the real estate. Right? We know, for example, even here in Israel today, we have a whole profession called Shama'ut. We discussed it earlier in Masechet Kedushin with regard to the Shita of Rav Yosef, that Shava Kesef in the Sugya of Shirayim requires Shuma. Shuma's a whole to-do. You need experts to determine what exactly is the market value, the accurate market value of an object. Here in the case of real estate, what is this real estate worth? And the question is whether Beis Din, if they made a mistake, they erred to some extent, and they devaluated or overvaluated the karka for the sake of Shumas HaDayonim, would that be irreversible or not? And logically, according to what we've seen here in the case of Apotropos, according to Rav Nachman, that Igdilu Ein Yecholim Limchos, because Ma Koach Beis Din Yofer, so too in the case of Shumas HaDayonim, the principle should be Ma Koach Beis Din Yofer, and therefore the decision to evaluate the karka at X is irreversible, and yet Rav Nachman seems to say the exact opposite. Umi islei l'Rav Nachman, does Rav Nachman indeed maintain this principle of imkain ma koach beis din yofer, and that we never mevatel, we never null and void a decision of beis din in the area of finances? Shall we say we'd undermine the position, the authority of beis din to do so? Vatnan in the Mishnah in Ksuvah Shuma Dayonim Shepichsu Shtus, O Hosiru Shtus. If they undervaluated the karka, that they did a Shuma, they did an estimation of its value by a sixth, right? By a sixth, they undervaluated it. So let's say instead of valuing it at 6, they valued it at 5, or Hosiru, or for example, instead of valuating at 6, they valuated it at, okay, you have to see exactly 7 point, whatever it might be, and they overvaluated, they overshot in their estimation of the karka by a shtus, is Michron Batel. If they sold that karka in order to return the money to Shimon, the Balchov, the Malveh, that sale is invalid, it's reversible, it's completely nulled and void because of this significant mistake made by Beis Din. And we're going to soon see that Rav Nachman himself accepts this opinion of the Tanakhama. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Michron Kayom. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that this act of Beis Din through the Shuma and the Mechira thereof is valid and it's irreversible. Why? The Imkain, if you disagree with me, is Ma Koach Beis Din Yofer. You've basically reduced the power, the authority of Beis Din that we can't do. The Omer Rav Huna Bar Chinina. Omer Rav Nachman Aloch Kidirei Chachamim. We accept Aloch like the Chacham against Rav Shimon Gamliel, and therefore we completely disregard the principle of Ma Koach Beis Din Yofer, and if so, Rav Nachman should have been consistent. He should have accepted the opinion of Shmuel with regard to Yisomim, and the Chalukah of the Yerusha at the hands of the Apotropos representing Beis Din. He should have said Yigdilu Yecholim Limchos. They could object and reverse the Chalukah because we don't hold from Ma Koach Beis Din Yofer Lo Kasha. And here we're going to turn to Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis. Ha de tohu, ha de lo tohu. In truth, there is a principle of Ma Koach Beis Din Yofer which Rav Nachman accepts, but there's a condition. When do we implement this authority of Beis Din and extend it through Ma Koach Beis Din Yofer to make it an irreversible decision? That's when everything, all the, you know, the Apotropos did all the due diligence, all the research was done. There was no error here. There was no rashlanut, shall we say. There was no negligence. and then the chalukah is kayemis. The Yisomim now come along and they say, well, you know what, we would be more comfortable with a different part of the land. Well, that doesn't mean that the apotropos made a toz. There was no mistake on the part of the apotropos. Objectively speaking, the apotropos made the perfect decision. Masha'en came in the case of Shuma Dayanim, where they devalue it or value by shtus. There we assume there's an element here of toz, and toz itself undermines the decision, the verdict of Beis Din. And when Rav Nachman passes like the Chachamim, that we don't have to worry about the covet of Beis Din, in a case where we're going to void the Mekach because the Beis Din made a toast, that's fine. They're not operating as Beis Din. But in the case of Apotropos, there Rav Nachman would say, since there was no element of toast, then the Apotropos and his decision representing Beis Din is irreversible. And to undermine, to afford the Yisomim, when they become Gdolim, with the power to undermine and void the decision of Beis Din, that would, in effect, violate the covet of Beis Din, and therefore we're going to apply the principle of Makov Beis Din Yofa. There's no stira in the two decisions of, two positions of Rav Nachman. The Gemara says, wait a second, E de lo to, if the machlokes between Shmuel and Rav Nachman about whether or not the Yisomim could make a mecha is a case where there was no toast. Ma yecholim limchos. Why does Shmuel say that the Yisomim can make a mecha? Higdilu yecholim limchos. What's the basis of their mecha? They have to somehow prove that a mistake was made. So the Gemara answers, yecholim limchos beruchos. Let's say the Yosom received a portion in the southern side, and he already owned Karka from a Yerusha through his mother in the northern side. And now he says that he doesn't want to have to schlep from one Karka to the other. You know, when he does the Avodah HaSadeh, when he does the work in the fields, he wants, this is what we call a Bar Mitzvah, he wants the two fields to be contiguous. That is a valid claim. And even though there was no element of toast here in the decision of Beis Din, how could they know that ultimately a Yerusha would fall through the mother to this young man, in which case he would have a Bar Mitzvah on the Tzad Dorom and he would want the field on Tzad Dorom? So there was no toast, but on the other hand, there's a justifiable basis for the Mecha and the lack of satisfaction of the Yosom, and therefore Shmuel insists, Higdilu Yicholim Limchos, whereas Rav Nachman says, no, Higdilu Ein Yicholim Limchos, because Makov Beis Din Yofa, it's the covet of Beis Din to make this decision irreversible, and that is because there was no element of toast on the part of Beis Din. Now the Gemara goes into a discussion about a Chalukas HaYerusha. When brothers divide up the father's inheritance, and there was a toz. And just a word of introduction to this sugya, we have a halacha of mecher, and in the halachas of mecher of sales, the fundamental principle is onah. There cannot be any overcharging or underpaying, in which the mocher suffers a loss because he was underpaid, or the lokeach, the buyer, suffers a loss because he was overcharged. That's called onah. And often what happens is that when a sale is made, there's a mistake, an inadvertent mistake about the value of the object that was being sold. And once that mistake comes to light, then there is a mechanism by which you could void the sale, and that's called onah. So again, we're talking again about toz b'shumas hanechosin. Okay, that's mecher. Now we talk about chalukas yorshim, when an individual dies and his possessions are divvied up amongst the heirs. Do we view that as a mekach? And therefore, if there was any mistake in the evaluation, in the Shuma, that toes will generate a halacha of Onah. And Onah, in turn, will completely null and void the sale, or if we assume that the division of the heirs is like a sale, the Chalukas HaYerusha. Amar Rav Nachman, Ha'achim Shechalku HaRehen Kilukuchos. When the inheritance is divvied up amongst the brothers, that's considered like a mecher. Each brother is buying his chelek from the other brothers, because initially, with the death of the Morish, the Yerusha falls equally to all the brothers. That's called Tfusas Abayis. And now, each one, so to speak, sells his portion to the other brother. And it becomes like a sale. And therefore, the halacha of toes, if there was a toes in the Shuma, will nullify the Chalukas HaYerusha. For example, Pachos Mishtus. Now we're going to go through the laws of Onah in Mecher, and then obviously, according to Rav Nachman, they'll apply ipso facto in Chalukas HaYerusha. So let's say that the overcharging or underpaying was Pachos Mishtus. It was less than 1/6 of the value. In such a case, Nikne HaMekach. The toes here, the mistake in the evaluation was so insignificant, again, relatively, percentage-wise, that there's not enough power here, neither for the mocher nor for the lokeach, to completely void the sale. So if it was sold at a, let's say, at a value that was 1/6 less than what it really is worth on the shuk, let's say it was sold at 5 or at 50 when it's really worth 60. So in such a case, the mocher took a loss of pachos mishtus. Or in the flip case, let's say the object was sold at a value of pachos mishishis mishavyo. So here, in this case, the lokeach, the buyer, was cheated. In these cases, the mekach is kayam. In other words, the assumption is that there's always a margin of error, a small margin of error, which is less than a sixth, in any sale. You know, it's impossible to really get it bull, you're perfectly on target. But yeser al shtus batal mekach. If the discrepancy in the price was more than 1/6, then there is a zchus bitla mekach, which means that the mocher, if he was cheated, or the lokeach, in the case where he was cheated, an amount that's more than a shtus, has the right to demand his money back and the chefetz be returned. Shtus, what if it was exactly 1/6? Is kana umachzir ona. There's no ability to invalidate, to void the sale. The sale is valid. But there is a right to demand that money be returned. Again, whether it be to the mocher or to the lokeach. That mistaken discrepancy will be paid up. And if we apply this principle here to the case of Yerusha, let's say the Yoresh, one of the particular brothers, received a portion of land that was 1/6 more than one of his other brothers, he would have to pay up, he would have to write up a check to make up that discrepancy. However, since it's exactly a shtus, the Chalukas HaYerusha would be valid, and there's no way that the other brother who was cheated can undermine and invalidate the chalukah. That's the principle of Rav Nachman. Rava now will qualify the principle of Rav Nachman. Amar Rava ha diamar. That's that which we said that if there was a toast in the chalukah sayirush amongst the brothers, is pachos mishtus nikne mekach, the chalukah is valid. if the discrepancy is less than a sixth, lo amaran el delo shavye shliach, aval shavye shliach, amar litkune shtartich velo livuse. How was the chalukah arranged? Was it arranged through shlichus or not? There are two ways that the chalukas anachosim could be implemented. You could do it through a shliach. Somebody is in charge of divvying up the land on behalf of the various brothers. And you could do it without a shliach. Without a shliach, the Gemara is going to discuss exactly how that works. And if there was a shliach who was appointed for this, to implement and set up to arrange this chalukah, then the mishaleach, the brother who was cheated, has a right to say that you were operating as my shliach, but I only appointed you as my shliach to help me for my benefit. That's called the zchus, but not leivuse, but not to be mekalkel. I don't want to suffer a loss, and therefore the ma'isa of the shliach is completely nullified. And we have to start from scratch and re-divvy up the land. This is really a reflection of a sugya in Masechta Gittin about Shinui HaShliach. If the Shliach was Mishana and he overstepped the bounds, the purview of his agency rights, then he's no longer operating as an agent. Everything that he did is completely null and void. Oh. Now Rava continues. For Hadi Amar, in that which Rav Nachman established that Yeser Mishtus Batal Mekach, that if the discrepancy was more than one-sixth, the entire sale is completely null and void. Lo amaron, ela delo amar, nifliginon, bishuma de beidina, vol amar, niflog bishuma de beidina, michron kayom. According to Rava's qualification here, there are two ways in which the nechasim of the Yerusha can be divvied up. One way is where Beis Din was not appointed by the brothers to supervise the evaluation of the nechasim. And in such a case, since Beis Din was not given that power of Shuma by the Achim, by the brothers, the heirs, therefore they operate within the framework of Tos, meaning Tos of a Yesa Mishtus is called a Tos, that will undermine their action. But if, on the other hand, the brothers said, you know what, we don't know exactly what this field is worth, or these fields are worth, Niflog b'shuma de beidina, they agree unanimously that Beis Din should be in charge and supervise the shuma, the evaluation of the karka of the land. In such a case, says Rava, the act of Beis Din is irreversible. It's valid, even though they made a tos of Yoser Mishtus, and the chalukah is valid. Why? Because, in effect, when the brothers appoint Beis Din as their representative, and all the brothers agree to that, to make the Shuma, then the Chalukah is done al pi Shuma's Beis Din, based on the Shuma of Beis Din, and they, each and every one of them, waive their rights to claim and scream Tos. They were makabel on themselves, they accepted on themselves to rely on the Chalukah of Beis Din. And therefore, even though Beis Din made a mistake, and it's a mistake of significant value, it's more than the shtus, nevertheless, the division of land is valid. And Rava says, how do I know this? Again, quoting the Mishnah in Ksubis, the Snan, Shuma Dayonim Shepichsu Shtus O Siru Shtus, Michron Batel, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Michron Kayom, and Rav accepts the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel that even though Beis Din, in their capacity to implement an evaluation, a shuma of the karka, they made a mistake, an error of more than a shtus, nevertheless, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that the act of Beis Din is irreversible, it is valid. And therefore, if we apply that in the case of Rav Nachman, in the case of Achim, who said to each other and unanimously agreed, Niflog b'shumet beidina, then the halach of Tos, which normally would undermine any action, any financial action, is completely suspended because of the powers that were vested in Bezdin. That's called Michron Kayam. And now we have another comment of Rava on Rav Nachman. He says, Vahad the Amoron, Shtus, Kana Umachzer Ona, that if the mistake was exactly 1/6, then the sale is valid. Just that the Nisana, the one who suffered and was cheated, has the right to get back his shtus. Lo amron el v'taltlev mekarke. It doesn't apply in the case of real estate. If the tos was made in real estate, even though it was a shtus, no one has the right to demand being paid the differential. Why? Because eino no lekarkos. We have a principle that with regard to karka, there is no law of ono. We said that the ability to break up the mecher or to demand reimbursing for the differential is based on the parasha of ono. There is no ono in karka. The parasha of ono in Vayikra Chafhei v'chi simkuru memkar lamitecha ukonu v'yada misecha al tonu ishes achiv. The words miyana misecha indicate that we're talking about metalful and movable objects. It's called davar nikne miyad liyad. And it would seem that there's no violation of an iser ona in except in metalful, but not in karka. The Ramban, in his Pirush al Torah there, disagrees with other Rishonim like Rashi, and he insists that the Iser of Losonu, of Altonu Ishas Achiv, the Lav of Ono, applies to Kaka no less than it does to Metaltalin. The Halach of Eino No Lekarkos means that the Dinim, the financial elements of Tashlumin and getting repaid and so forth, they don't apply in Karkos. But as far as the Aver is concerned, if the Mocher or the Lokeach deliberately violated the knowingly overcharged or underpaid, whatever the case may be, there is a violation of the Iser Lav of Ona. Now, here in our sugya, when we're dealing with the question of Chaluka Sa'ach, and we're dealing with Tashlum, we're dealing with the financial elements, and that's why, even according to the Ramban, it's appropriate to say Ein Ona B'Karkos here, which might mean that it's usual that in a real estate deal, a person, since it's so complicated and so almost subjective to evaluate the karka, what's worth it for you to pay is not what's worth it for me, and so forth. Therefore, a person has a built-in mechila, and even if he realizes, another piece of karka sold at a better price, he's mochel. And Rava goes on, he says, B'makarkoi, even in the case of karkos, that we said there's no din of ona, lo amaron el depolig be'iluya, that there was a chaluka based on a shuma. In other words, let's say the father left many different fields after he died. Some are better than others. One of the brothers took his chelek, his portion, from a superior quality piece of real estate. His brother took a larger piece of field, more extensive in terms of its width and its breadth, but nevertheless it was a lower quality. There was an evaluation of both karkos, and they were equal. They were shava b'shava. And then later on there was a tos. We find out there was some mistake in the evaluation. There's no ona because ain't ona b'karkos. That's called polug b'iluya, when the chalukah was done based on a shuma. Polig bim mishchasa, let's assume that there was a chalukah sayirusha bim mishchasa, meaning they took a rope and they measured it, it was just a surveyor, and there was some mistake in the surveying of the land, what's called medida. One brother got a larger piece of extended land than the other brother. Is low in such a case, we don't apply Eino No B'Karkos. Eino No Karkos applies in terms of the value, but not in terms of the size of the field, the meat of the field. And therefore the chalukah is completely null and void. Even if there was a mashua, a very limited minimum mistake, Kidder Rabbah, this is based on the statement of Rabbah, the Omer Rabbah, Kol Dover Shevimidah V'mishkal Shevimidyan, Afilu Pochos Mikteo No Nami Choser, in any case in a mecher, in a sale, when there was a mistake in terms of the size, the weight, you know, it wasn't weighed properly, it wasn't surveyed properly, then Pachos Mikdeo Na, even if the mistake was less than a shtus, less than 1/6, is choser. This is not what I bought. In other words, a person is not going to be mochel on the inability of someone to, you know, to survey the land and give me the size that I wanted. You know, this is not what I wanted. And therefore the mecher is batel. A person can be mochel on ona if it's less than a shtus, because, you know, the value of an object, you know, really, as we said before, is very subjective in the marketplace. But here, when there was a mistake in Medida, then the entire sale is completely valid. No one's going to be mochel on that kind of a tos. We're going to go back now to the law of Shlichus. And we want to know what happens if a Shliach was appointed to implement an Avera. For Hadisnan, we have a mission in Bava Kama Shalleach Esa Be'era B'yad Cheresh Shota V'Katan Potum Idine Adam V'Chayev B'din Shamayim. A person sent a fire, a torch, in the hands of someone who doesn't have Das, according to Halacha. He's not mature enough. We'll call him a deaf mute or some sort of an imbecile. Again, the shota is a very complicated concept. I don't even know how to translate it to English, because it's a halachic concept. It doesn't exist in the world as we know it. Or a katan, he's less than bar mitzvah, in all these cases ain't bam das. And therefore, in such a case, really the one who is shaleach, the one who gave over this be'era to someone who's incapable of watching it, he is really responsible. That was an act of negligence. But nevertheless, technically, you cannot sue him in a court of law for damages. Why? Because that's called grama bin ezikin. He didn't actually actively and directly damage someone. He was negligent in watching an object. And that's called potum midini adam, but v'chai b'din shamayim. Again, what v'chai b'din shamayim means is a long, long discussion. He certainly will be punished in shamayim unless he pays up. But he might even be posel yedus, the mirishita, until he pays up. Just the bezdin can't force him to pay. Shilach b'yad pikeach. However, if Reuven sent this flame in the hands of a mature person, and then this mature person was negligent, and as a result there was a fire, Pikeach Chayov, the Shaliach himself is Chayov. So the Gemara says, the Amai, why should the Pikeach be Chayov, Neimah Shlucho Shel Adam Kamos? After all, he's operating on behalf of the one who appointed him, the Shaliach who appointed him. Shiny Hassan, the Gemara established a new rule, the Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. This is going to be a gigantic sugya. That there's no such thing as Shlichus for an Avera. You don't say Shlucho Shalom Kimoso, that the Mishalech is considered the Bala Maisa here, because there is no Shlichus for an Avera, the Amrinon. And what's the Svara that underlies this principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera? Divrei Arava, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomim. What are you telling me? You're the shliach, and you did this act of negligence. You're responsible. You're going to say, well, no, you're not responsible because you were only following orders. This is what we call obedience. And here we apply the principle of, what do you mean, obedience? You're not obedient to the mishaleach who tells you to do an avera. You're obedient. You owe your allegiance to the Mishaleach with a capital Mem, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rav. He's the one who tells you what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. So you can't claim, well, I was only following orders. I'm not going to be responsible for my actions. So the Gemara now asks the question, what do you mean, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera? Sanya, we have a Braisa, Shliach Shelo Osa Shlichuso, Shliach Mal. Osa Shlichuso Balabayis Mal. the Braisa establishes with regard to Mi'ila. It may even be a Mishnah, perhaps, in Mi'ila in the sixth Perek, in which case we should write for Asnan, the Bach, is that if a person is holding on to Mos of Hegdesh, monies that belong to Hegdesh, and he made a mistake, he didn't realize that these Mos were Hegdesh. He mistakenly made a chalip in here, he made a change, and he swapped his chulin for Mos Hegdesh, and then he gives it over to a shliach, thinking that they're Mos chulin. And the shliach spent this money. The question is, who's chai for Me'ila? And the Mishnah or the Braisa establishes that it depends. Did the shliach do exactly what he was told to do? If he did exactly what he was told to do, then the Baal Bais is chayav for Me'ila. If, on the other hand, the shliach deviated from the tzivui, from the command, the shlichus, as he was commanded to do so, then he's working al das atzmo, he's independent. And the shliach is chayav for Me'ila. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, but if the Mishnah is implying, not only implying, it's explicit, that if the shliach fulfilled his shlichus, ki yasa shlichus of the Baal HaBayis is Baal HaBayis mi amal, the one who's chayav in Me'ila is the Baal HaBayis, the Mishaleach, amai ein shliach l'dvar vera. We have a principle of ein shliach l'dvar vera, the Gemara answers, shani Me'ila, the din of shlichus with regard to Me'ila is a unique din, deviating from the normal universal principle of ein shliach l'dvar vera. And why is that so? The Yalfa Chet Chet Mitruma. We have a Gzereshav between Me'ila and Truma. In both Parshios, it says the word Chet. In Vayikra Hey, it says Nefesh Ki Timol Mal. The Chata Bishgaga Mikotche Hashem. So the word Chet appears in the Parsha of Me'ila. And now, if you fast forward to Perkov Beis in Sefer Yikra, it says, with regard to Truma, a person who ate Truma, Velo Yisu Olav Chet. So the word Chet applies, or appears, I should say, in both Parshios, in Me'ila and Truma, and that allows us to make Gzer Shova and an analogy between the two. Ma Truma, Mashve Shliach, Af Me'ila, Mashve Shliach. We know that a Baal HaBayis can appoint the shliach to be mafresh truma on his behalf. We had a whole sugya that yesterday. Is so to a me'ila. There is such a thing as a shliach le'me'ila. And maybe perhaps what's common here to both truma and me'ila, and I think I once heard this svar from my Rebbe many, many moons ago, is that in both cases, the ikar is not the ma'isa, but the totsas ha'ma'isa, you know, the effect, the impact, the hafrashas truma, and the chalos truma in cheftzo, and me'ila, the fact that there was me'ila in the hegdesh. So, in general, universally, the principle would be ein shlichus dvar aveira. The exception will be me'ila, based on this gzera shava chet chet mitruma, effect the gemara, v'neima, v'neilif mina. Why don't we use Me'ila as the paradigm, the binyan av for kol tarkul, to derive the principle of yesh shliach l'dvar aveira? Again, you have a svar of divrei rav, divrei talmud, divrei mishomim, but now that we have a parsha of Me'ila which lends itself to shlichus, is doch, let's learn from here that yesh shliach l'dvar aveira. And the Gemara answers, mishum dahavi Me'ila ushlichus yad shnei ksuvim abam keched kol shnei ksuvim abam keched ei melamdin in pikadon. If I give you something to watch, you're my custodian, and you went ahead and used the object, then we have a principle of yesh shlichus yad bipikadon. And the Gemara now is going to derive from a parsha in the Torah the halacha of shlichus yad, that it lends itself to shlichus. But in any event, we see that the Torah taught us shlichus and avera, both in the case of Me'ila and in Shlichus Yad V'Pikado, which teaches us or activates the principle of Ein Shnei Ksuvim Melamdim. Me'ila, the source for Shlichus and Me'ila, Hadamara, we derive from the Gzer Shavu Chet Chet. Shlichus Yad V'Pikado. How do we know that there is such a thing as Shlichus? Maihi, the Sanya, the Braisa, derives the halacha of Shlichus Yad in the case of Shomer Chinam from the parasha in Shmos Chav Beis and Mishpat. It says, V'nikra Baal HaBayis El Elohim. Im lo shalach yado meleches re'ehu. That's the Shlichus Yad Parsha. No, this is Shomer Chinam who claims that the object that he was in charge of watching was stolen. Now he has to take a Shvua because a Shomer Chinam is potter from Gneva, but he's only potter if he takes the Shvua. And in that Shvua, he has to take an oath that he did not use the object without permission from the Bailim. That means Lo Shalach Bo Yad. And then, and only then, does he become exempt from paying compensation for the Gneva. And it also says in that same pasuk, Al Kol Dvar Pesha, that a shomer is chayav if he was poshea, if he didn't watch the object properly. Is Beit Shammai Omrim lechayav al machshava kemaisa, uBeisil Omrim eino chayav ad sheyishlach bo yad shenemar imlo sholach yad. So we have here machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel about machshava. Let's say before the object was stolen, the shomer thought to himself he would be sholeach yad. He wants to use the object. He never actually got a chance to implement his scheme, his plan. Is Beit Shammai says the machshava alone is considered like a mice and he's chai for shlichus yad. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, disagree and they say no. You need a shlichus yad in which you tipped over the object, you know, you used it in some way in order to be a shalach yad to be chayav. And that's based on the pasukim lo shalach yad. You need shlichus yad mamish. Now the Braisa is going to bring this machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai down to the level of Joshua Psukim Omer Beit Shammai le Beis Hillel. I want to show you that I am right. I'll demonstrate this is the way to read the pasuk. Follow Nemar. The pasuk says, "I'll call dvar pesha." So the word dvar here means dibur. In other words, he's chayav for dibur, dvar pesha. Omer lehem beisul beit shamai. How can you possibly say that a shomer is chayav for shlichus yad machshava? Lo Nemar im lo sholach yad b'meleches reyehu. In other words, the Torah puts all the emphasis on the act of Shlichus Yad, Omer Beit Shammai LeBeis Hillel, Im Kain. If the Shomer is not Chayiv until he actually implements the Shlichus Yad, I'll call Dvar Pesha Lomeli. Why did the Torah add the word Dvar, indicating Dibur itself is enough to engender a Chiyuv of Shlichus Yad? And Beis Hillel responds, Sheyochol, if it wouldn't have said Dvar Pesha, I'll call Dvar Pesha, I would have thought, Ein Li Ela Hu. I would think that the shomer is only chayav as a sholeach yad b'pikono, which means he's chayav even for onsen, if he himself personally was the sholeach yad. But Omar li avdo ulishlucho, and we have to see why Beis Hillel mentions both Eved and Shlich, but in any event, if he tells someone to operate as his agent on his behalf to be sholeach yad, minayin, how do we know that the shlichus is valid? And now the mishaleach, the shomer, would be chayav for shlichus yad v'kon tamal lomar called dvar pesha. The dibur here is the dibur in which the mishaleach, the shomer, appoints the shaleach, the agent, to operate on his behalf to create a shlichus yad. And this is how Beis Hillel derives shlichus yad. Works can be achieved through shlichus, even though it's a dvar avera. Is the Gemara says, "Hanich lebeis Hillel el beit Shammai demuki lelahai krov machshava kemaisa." I now can agree that according to Beis Hillel, we have a valid source for shlichus yad being lending itself to shlichus. That shlichus operates in shlichus yad. That's based on alkol dvar pesha. But Beis Shammai needs dvar pesha to teach you that there's shlichus yad through machshava without maisa. Therefore, the question goes back and bothers us: what is the source for shlichus in a dvar avera of shlichus yad? According to Beis Shammai, neilif minay. We should go back to Me'ila. And we saw in Me'ila that there's a chiyuv of a shliach that was derived from chet mitruma. Now Me'ila should become a paradigm of binyan av and derive from Me'ila the halacha of yesh shliach l'dvar averin kol tarkula against the svar of diri arav. You'll tell me shnei ksuba bom kechrei malan, because we have shlichus in the case of shaleach yad b'kodon. Beis Shammai doesn't have any source for shlichus in shaleach yad b'kodon, so there's no shnei ksuma bon kechrei malamdim. The Gemara answers, Mishum Dahavi Me'ilo Tficho Mechira Shnei Ksuma Bom Kechad and Kol Shnei Ksuma Bom Kechad Ein Melamdim. There's another parsha in which Shlichus works by a Dvar Avera, and that's the case of a Ganav. A Ganav steals a shor or a seh, and then he shechts it, or he sells it. He's chayav dalid vehei, even if the ganav himself did not do the mechira or the shechit, he sent a shliach to do so. Me'ila hadamara. The fact that me'ila is a source for shlichus lavar vera, we already derived that. We've established that through chet mitruma. Tvicha mechira maihi, what's the source for tvicha u mechira? To establish that yesh shliach l'dvar avera in tvicha mechira and set up a shnei ksuma bom kechrei melamdim. Amar kra, the Torah says in the parsha in Mishpatim of Gneva, ki yignov ishar oseh u tvacho o mecharo. There's an equation in the pasuk between tvicha and mechira. Ma mechira al yidei acher, af tvicha al yidei acher. Just like mechira, you cannot sell something without the partnership of the buyer. So the buyer is, in a sense, a shliach of the mocher. Af tvicha, so too, if somebody partners up to do the tvicha, the shchita, and the shor is shechted by someone else, al yidei acher, is nevertheless, he's chayov. So therefore, we have, even according to Beit Shammai, Shnei Ksuma Bom Kechnei Melamdin, and therefore we go back to the Svara of Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, and the universal principle is Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll pick this up here on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph tomorrow, and that's line 7.